Turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. And you can turn to chapter 4. The title of my message this morning is What Matters in Life. What Matters in Life. 2 Timothy 4. And you can follow along as we read. I'll read for you verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8, the Bible says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for this day, and Lord, this time that we can open up your word. And Lord, I know my heart and my mind has been just consumed with, Lord, just this burden of the Griffins, and Lord, just what they're going through. And Lord, I thank you for their testimony through it of strength and trusting in you. Lord, knowing that, Lord, you were leading and you were guiding, and Lord, knowing that at this point he's with you. And Lord, we do thank you for that. We thank you for his testimony of salvation, that he knew you as his Savior. And Lord, I just pray that this thought this morning, Lord, would encourage us to put our perspective on the right things and not on the things of this world, but Lord, that we would focus on those things that really matter. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would, Lord, work in hearts, that your spirit would teach us, and Lord, that you would bless it in a very real way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, we're going to look at a few things of what really matters in life. You know, as we go about our lives, people live with their priorities in mind. We have to stop and consider the priorities of the things that we invest in. What do we spend our time reading? What do we spend our time listening to? What do we spend our time doing or thinking about? And what do we spend or who do we spend our precious time with? From young to old, we all have things that we think about. Especially in this time of year, it's our time when priorities can become a little bit skewed. My son, over the last week, has been thinking about his Christmas wish list. And he's been writing these things down. And I ask, does that truly matter? Does what we receive as a gift really matter? Let me ask it this way. Do you remember all the gifts going back to your childhood that you received? Let's stop and think about what we spend our time doing. Do you remember all the national championship winners over the last 10, 15, 20 years? Do you remember all the World Series winners if it wasn't even your team? Do you remember the Super Bowl winners? Maybe, what about the presidents? Can you name all the presidents going back in your lifetime? I'm sure there's some people that could. But how about the senators and representatives that you voted for? You know, there's some Bible words that talked about the cares of this life. And as I was studying this, I came across these words. One of them, over and over again, is translated as the word care, something that we care about. And that word is merimna. And another use of the word, it gives us the idea of anxiety, something that we worry about. It also gives the idea of distraction, something that distracts us. The cares of this life distract us. There's other things mentioned in that verse, along with the cares of this life. Riches, which is the word that gives us the idea for just stuff that we have. And another word that just talks about our pleasures, the things that we just like to do. So as we set the scene in our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing this to Timothy. This is believed to be the final book written by the Apostle Paul close to the end of his time on earth. Some of your Bibles at the very end will have this note that was written by the King James translators that it's believed that Paul was in Rome when he wrote this, and it's very likely that he wrote this from jail. There's this list that comes alive to me as we read through this passage of the important things that matter in life and as we walk through this entire chapter. This is not an exhaustive list, but I think it's a good list to go from. These are things that Paul made mention in his last epistles, in his last word, in his parting message to the one he called his son in the faith, Timothy. This was written by a man who knew his days were numbered. What did he have to say? What did he want to talk about? I hope that we can learn from this about some things that truly matter in life. The first thing that we'll look at about what matters in life is the person of Christ. The person of Christ matters. Look, if you will, at verses 1 through 5 there. He says, right in the beginning of verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And then he goes on, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In this last chapter, Paul makes mention of what he knows to be true. And he brings forth a challenge to Timothy, this charge. And in this charge, Paul acknowledges who Christ is. And he says that it's God, that it's Jesus Christ that we're going to stand before who will judge us all. The Lord Jesus Christ matters because we will stand before him. What should we consider? What should we consider that matters in life is the person of Christ, because we have to consider who this person is. Who he is to you. Do you live in a way that Christ matters in your life? Over and over again, as we visited with Doug and Christina, so many people would give testimony and share of the love that he had for God and the example that he was to other people. And so many people had his family members and his friends had just an affinity to him. And a lot of this was because he was an ambassador for Christ. He was representing Christ to them. This is the most important thing. As we look at this, it's not just about knowing who Jesus is. There's so many people that are familiar with the name. They know about Jesus, and maybe every once in a while they'll praise Jesus. Maybe you'll see on TV sometimes that there'll be an athlete or some celebrity that'll just say, oh, I just like to thank Jesus Christ. And maybe people praise him every now and again. But it's more a matter of, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is judge? Has there been a time that you have acknowledged him as Lord of your life? And this is where we discussed a little bit in Sunday school. We spoke about pride and how that comes up in our life. And many times the problem with man is that we want to control our life. We want to run our life. We want to hold the reins and control the direction and have the steering wheel of our life in the direction that it's going. We don't want to turn that over to someone else. We don't want to turn that over to God, because that means that he would be in charge. That means that I would have to consider what it is that matters to him. I would have to stop and think about what it is and if what I'm doing pleases him. And I don't want to think about that. And so many people will put that aside and put that away, and they'll say, you know what? I don't want him to be Lord of my life. I don't want to surrender to him. But that's what matters in life. The person of Christ. It means that we'll all stand before a righteous judge. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what our bank account says. It doesn't matter what our job title is or what job titles we have held. It doesn't matter how many good citizen points you have or how good you are to other people. It doesn't matter the good deeds that you've done. What matters is what have you done with Christ. There's this, yesterday I was reading this book that one of the members of the church gave to me, and I was just reading it, and in this was the story of a lady who was dealing with cancer and faced it and was in the hospital and said it this way, if I remember correctly. She said to the pastor, she said, you know, the big C in my life is not cancer. The big C in my life is Christ. That's what defines me. That's what I tell people about. That's what is who I am. It's those other things don't define who I am. But Christ does. That's what matters in life. And as we reach our end of days and as we think about, and we can sometimes become a little convoluted with it even during Christmas, we can lose our priorities. We can lose sight of what matters in life. And what matters in life is the person of Christ and what each of us has done with him. You know, there's many people that can sit in a church and can listen to the word of God preached. But if you haven't met the person of Christ, you're lacking. You're missing something. You're missing what it's all about. And these other things don't matter. Our testimony for Christ is what matters. He goes on in verse 5 in this passage. He tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. The person of Christ is important. Not only what Christ matters to you, but about reaching other people. He was encouraging him and challenging him and saying, hey, don't forget, even though you're going to be ministering to people and you're going to be helping people and you're going to be doing all these things, Timothy, don't forget to do the work of an evangelist. Make sure that you're reaching people for Christ. Make sure that you're reaching out and sharing the gospel with other people. Reach people so that they can put their trust in Jesus. Reach people while you still have time. Here is the thing. The Bible says that, I don't want to mess it up, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but basically, the idea in Ecclesiastes is that it's good for the young men to bear the burden, to carry the burden in their youth. Now, the reason why that's an important principle is because in churches today, there's a lot of young people, and those young people, most of them are here because they have to. Because their parents have instructed them and given them that teaching, this is where we're going to be. And then you have a lot of people that are seasoned, that have been around longer, 40s, 50s, 60 years old, maybe older. And they're in church. They're serving God. But there's kind of this gap in the middle. Those in their 20s, 30s, what we call working age. And those people, they'll work hard out there, but they won't work hard in here. They're carrying the burden out there, but they're not carrying the burden in the church house. They're not out there working to reach people. And that's something that all of us have to keep in mind, of reaching people while we have time. So many times I've heard Brother Gene Struther, who passed away a couple years ago. He was in his 70s. He was at visitation every week. And one thing that always in pain, anytime we went out visiting, I said, "How are you, Gene? How's your pain doing?" He wouldn't even talk about it unless you asked. And I asked him directly. He said, it's about a 4 today. And that's, I think he never got lower than a 3. He was always in pain. And he said, "You know what? I just wish that I'd gotten a hold of this thing when I was younger." Over and over and over again, I've talked to so many people that I wish I would have got a hold of this thing when I was younger, when I had more energy, when I had more strength, when I had more ability to go to do different things. Reach people while you still have time. That's what matters. What matters in life is not the news. It doesn't matter how many people you've gotten to support your team or your favorite player. It doesn't matter how many people you've changed their views politically. It matters how much time you spend telling people about Christ. There's a lot of evangelists for political views. And I'm not saying that politics isn't important. But what matters in life is the person of Christ. And there's a lot of people who have not come to grips, have not realized, have not met the person of Christ. Don't forget to do the work of an evangelist, is what he tells them. And we can do that here, even here in church. And what happens in church? In about 20 minutes or so, once things are winding down, we're going to get up, we're going to have an invitation. And some people will just be stretching out, just kind of waiting for it to end. But they won't be thinking about the people that are here that perhaps don't know Jesus. And that's what I'm saying, is that what matters is the person of Christ. And if there's somebody here that perhaps hasn't trusted Christ as their Savior, the people that have should be here praying and asking God and saying, "Lord, would you save that person?" Instead of just kind of waiting around and kind of standing and saying, "Okay, I'm ready to go. As soon as he says amen, we're going to go." It happens. And what do other people do? They just kind of, you know, you hear it. As soon as I say, "Let's pray," you kind of hear it over and over again. And it's, you know, it's somewhat comical. But at the same time, what are our priorities? What's most important? Is it important that we get out the door at a certain time? Or is it important that somebody meets Christ, understands who the person of Christ is? And when you're at the end of your days, that's what's going to matter. The person of Christ. Next point. What matters in life is the precepts of Scripture. Verses 2 and 4 says here, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears," verse 4, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Over and over again, we see how important it is that Paul is telling Timothy how important it is, the Bible is. The precepts matter. What God says in his word matters. At the end of life, what we're going to be thinking about is not the news. It's about how close did I follow the scripture? Did I live up to what God wanted me to live up to? According to his word, how close did I follow the book? It's important because his word is settled. The Bible is eternal. His word is going to be around much longer than any of us. And Paul wanted Timothy to remember in his parting message, to remember that the word of God really matters. The word of God really matters. The gossip tabloids are nowhere near as important as the word of God. The newspapers are not as important as the word of God. The magazines that we read are not as important as the word of God. So now we go down to the younger generation. The Twitter feed is not as important as the word of God. The Facebook feed is not as important as the word of God. Our gravestones are not going to say how many followers we had at the end of our life. The memes on the internet that we all get our laughs about are not as important as the word of God. The sports highlights are not as important as the word of God. When a person is facing the end of life, I don't see them caring about what's going on in the world, the cares of this world. I'm afraid that we've relegated the word of God to something lower than social media. But not only what the word of God says, but how closely are we following it? See, we can have a nice picture or a good quote and put it on our page. Or we can even have a great Bible verse and put it on our page. But how are we living that? Is your life showing that? And when we come to our time, we're going to look and say, how close did I follow that book? Next, we see the prize to be won. The Bible says in verses 6 through 8, such a familiar passage, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul's course was complete. There was a prize to be won. He was looking ahead to the prize that was ahead of him, to the reward that he was going to receive. Paul viewed life as a race. Paul viewed life as a course that he had been given. A race course. A course, you know, that is different than any other course. Understand that your course is different than my course. None of us are given the same course. None of us are given the same race to run. I sat with one of the relatives of Doug the other day, and he was asking, he said, "Here's a man, he's 45, I'm 70, and I've had a stroke and a heart attack. Why? Why him? Why not me?" And that's a hard question to answer. And the only thing I can think of is his course was done. He finished his course. That's the course that he had been given. And I was talking to my mom, and my mom said this. It was very good. She said, "Sometimes we expect life and we expect God to give us a certain age, a certain number of years. But God doesn't give us a number of years. He gives us a course. There's some that are sprinters. There's some that are a little bit longer, have to run a few laps, 400 meters, 800 meters. And there's some that have to run a marathon. That's a long race. And some of us are going to have shorter courses than another. And some of us will have longer. But each of us has a different course to run. God does not call us at a certain age. Sometimes our courses are shortened for different reasons. In some cases, God allows our course to be longer, but God sets the course. Though all these courses are different, we are all to run it the same way. And that's looking to the prize to be won. You see, many people, as we see in the book of Matthew, there was a very specific exhortation that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And he said this, he said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." See, there is no decay, there's no corruption in heaven. And that should be where we are setting our treasures ahead. That should be what we are investing in. That should be what we're looking towards and working towards. Even our effort now can be gone forward into the future, into our next life. That's why we're supposed to live this life for the next life, not for this life. And so many people are working to accumulate and have the nicest vehicles and have the nicest houses and all these things and setting things for things here on earth, but we're supposed to be setting our sights and our treasures, laying up treasures in heaven. Brother Bagwell talked about that a couple weeks ago. There's five crowns that we can earn as we lay up treasures in heaven. There's crowns that we can earn, things that we can do here to lay up treasures in heaven. God encouraged us to live for the next life. And as we wind down this life, it's not what we've stored in this life that matters. It's what we've stored in the next life. Now, as we look at this word, here he says, "I am now ready to be offered." We're going to go into a little bit of that, what that means here in just a moment. "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." That word departure, it's an amazing word. It was used, as we understand it, as pulling anchor and setting sail. That's the word picture that we get. He's saying, "Hey, it's time for me to pull anchor and set sail. I'm on a journey. This was just a stop. And I'm going home." He was on his way to eternity, and what matters in life is how we have prepared for eternity, for the prizes to be won. Next, we're going to see the properties of your character is what matters in life. The properties of your character. As we look at this passage, we see in verse 7, we'll also see in verse 14, and verse 17 and 18, I want to pick out some things about Paul here. In verse 7, he says, or verse 6, he says, "I am now ready to be offered." That word, offered, is the same word that was used for an offering to be poured out on the altar. And so what he was saying was not that I'm going to be executed and my life is going to be taken from me. I'm offering it. I'm giving my life. That's what he was saying. "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Then he says, "I fought a good fight." That tells us about his character. He was a man who was faithful. It says he'd finished my course. He was a finisher. It tells us about his character. He was a man of faith. He says, "I have kept the faith." What else do we see here? We see here, if you look at the rest of the passage, we see that he was very friendly. He had a lot of friends, many people that he spoke to, studious. We see later on in the passage that he says, "Hey, bring the books, bring the parchments." Even though he was at the end of his days, he was still learning. He was still studious. He was still diligent, working hard. And that brings us to ourselves. What are we going to be remembered for? What are those things that are going to come to mind when people think of us? When we look at a person's life in retrospect, we look at their character, about who they were. So many times a person of faith will be remembered for that. What are you going to be remembered for? What are the characteristics that are going to come to mind when it's your day, you've departed, and people are celebrating your life? What are they going to say about you? I use this. It's just amazing to me. I don't know where I saw it, but recently I saw a advertisement for caskets for people's funerals. And in one of them, it had, you could buy one that's decorated in your favorite team's colors. And your whether it be college team, sports team, you know, you can get that casket. And, I mean, forgive me, I don't understand that priority. When you look at life, oh, that person was, you know, this fan. I'll pick on Mr. Bradley. Penn State. He was a Penn State fan. He was a Maryland fan. Is that what we want to be known for? What are you going to be remembered for? What are the character things? And character is what transcends. Character is what you can pass on. Which brings us to our last point, the people you influence. What matters in life? The people you influence. You see so many people here in this passage. You see a man named Demas. You see a man named Crescens, Titus, Luke, Tychicus, Carpus, Priscilla, and Aquila. We also see someone where Paul was forgiving them. Alexander. He's in his final message to Timothy. He's giving forgiveness to this man, Alexander. It shows us the kind of person that he was. The people you influence, Prissa, Aquila, Onesiphorus, Trophimus, Erastus, all these people that were in Paul's life that he was able to impact. Here's the thing. So many people want to have a lasting impact on the world. So many people want their legacy to live on for ages and ages and ages. But there's not a lot of people that have that legacy. There's very few people. I'm convinced that if we desire to make our world better, if we desire to leave a lasting legacy, it will be by raising up our children to the faith. That is the way that we will impact for the next generation and to generations to come. Not just send them to church and just say, we're in church, we're going to be in church. Not just bring them to church every once in a while, but showing them what Christianity is. Showing them what it means to live for God. Showing them how much you love God, but not just that, how much of a change that God has made in your life. I don't know how to translate that. So much of the time with my kids that I spend with my kids, I wish they could understand the difference that God made in my life. I don't know how to communicate that. But it's amazing. It's an amazing change. If you knew who I was 15, 20 years ago. And that's not the person that's standing before you. But as we impact people, influence them, reach them, show them what it means to live for God, show them what it means to have a life surrendered to God, show them what it means to have a relationship with God. And that's the thing. A lot of times, that's not what we show. We can show something very nice when we come to church. Yep, we're here in church. Got my suit on. Got my tie on. But what's going on in your heart? And I've been there. I know what it means to sit in a church, listen to, just let it go right over your head and not even listen. Not let it change you. Not let it do anything. But we have opportunity to influence people. And there should be some people in our lives that graciously, in a way to help, to say, help someone along. Bring someone along. Influence them in the right direction. Because that's what's going to matter in life. The people that you have opportunity to influence, the people that you have opportunity to impact. Someone, I don't know who I was driving with a few weeks ago. I think I might have been with Andrew. He was saying that they saw a funeral, they saw a hearse with like one or two cars following. And in his mind, he was like, man, that person didn't have a lot of friends. Maybe they didn't impact anybody. And we have an opportunity to influence and impact people, and that matters in this life. Not to influence people in the things that don't matter, but to influence them towards the Lord. You know, at a funeral, we probably won't talk about someone's car collection. We probably won't talk about how nice a house they lived in. We probably won't talk about how much money they made. Those aren't the things that matter. But I hope that when it's my time to pull anchor and set sail, that something is said about the person of Christ and how Christ changed my life. I hope that when it's my time to depart, something can be said about the principles laid out in Scripture, and I know that I haven't followed them exactly to the T, and I know that I've fallen and I've made mistakes, but I hope something can be said that the Scriptures changed my life. I hope that when it's my time to depart, something can be said about me not living for this life, but for the next life. I hope that when it's my time to depart, something can be said about something lasting. Not just that I like to play basketball or I knew about computers. Something meaningful. Something that can be passed on. I hope that when it's my time to depart, there'll be some that have been impacted and influenced. And hopefully my kids will be led into what God wants them to be. Not for my sake, but to bring honor and glory to Him. Because that's what matters in life. So what about you? What matters in your life?